The Holy Gospel lesson for today is found in the 11th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, beginning with the second verse.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, today is Father's Day. And so we, your wise pastoral staff, thought we would start off our summer series with the Lord's Prayer and a study of the Lord's Prayer. You remember the Lord's Prayer? Remember everything about it? Who taught it to you? Where'd you learn the Lord's Prayer? Where'd you learn how to pray? His disciples hear Jesus praying, and they turn to him and say, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And I know we're doing everything right with COVID, and nothing's changed in the lives of our churches, and everything seems to be holding on normal. But hear the words that are similar to the words of Jesus. This is ancient Aramaic, and this is the prayer Jesus taught his disciples, and see how you're doing. So how'd you do? In our LBWs, there's another Lord's Prayer that's beside the one that we always say. Or we may remember back in the day when we used to say debts and debtors, or trespasses and trespassers, which we use today, or sins, as we should have been doing for the last 25 years. And we sit back and say, well, we've never done it that way before. And how much of what we do today, we've never done it that way before. So what's it about? We hear today our Lord talking and sharing with us how we should pray. And he says to us, when you pray, say, "Father, hallowed be your name." Only when he said it, it was a totally different language. He says, "Your kingdom come, give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins." But we start off the Lord's Prayer with an introduction. And we start off on this Father's Day with an introduction that says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name." Now, I know for many, we didn't have good father figures. We didn't have positive figures that we would sit back and say they were worthy to be followed. But Jesus, in praying to his disciples and praying with his disciples and teaching them who it is, we are challenged to be better and do the very best we can possibly be. We gather together here today in a world that so desperately needs us to up our game in caring and sharing. Because it's not just the Lord's Prayer that we fall short on, it's how much of life. Who are we supposed to love? Just our neighbors? Our friends? People of the same race as we are? The same backgrounds, the same histories? We're all the people of God's creation. People of different colors, different backgrounds, different understandings, even our enemies, even those that persecute us, even those that we don't understand. Who are we supposed to care about and nurture? Just we ourselves and our families? In the Lord's Prayer, we hear us asking our God and saying to him, "Your kingdom come. And yet we spend so much of our lives trying to keep everything the same within our comfort zones of who we are and what we're about and how we live our lives. And God challenges us to experience His kingdom. Jesus, we believe, died on a cross, looked down from the cross and said to each of us, Father, forgive them, for they don't have a clue what they're doing. And it's at times like today when we celebrate a national holiday called Father's Day, maybe, where we celebrate an opportunity to experience God's grace. We celebrate a Juneteenth, a time where hundreds of thousands of people got their freedom. What difference does that make for us? Will we struggle that they can keep their freedoms, that their freedoms might grow, that they might be aware more of the freedoms they have? Will we share our freedom and sacrifice some of the many blessings that we have so that others can know the grace of a God that challenges us to do better than we've done? Or will we go back to the old ways, the old understandings? At Lutheran Church of Our Savior this morning, we had church. First time in 16 weeks, I guess it is. And we served communion. And we had two young people there, Bentley and Lexi. And we did a sermon, kids' sermon with them up there. And I took these rubber gloves that we had that we're all so accustomed to now, put them on my hands, and I said, why do we wear these gloves? Why do we wear face masks when we gather? And you know, the tendency is to say, ooh, that's gooey and sticky, so I put gloves on my hands. Or, ooh, that stinks, so I put a face mask on my face. Or is it because we're trying to protect somebody else and keep them healthy and well? Isn't that what the gospel's about? It's going beyond our comfort levels. It's going beyond where we would like to be or what we believe or the way things used to be, to reaching out and helping others to be safe and secure and to experience life to the fullness that we all live. And none of us can understand the other person's travels. And it makes no difference about race or talents or skills or upbringing. We raised three kids in our family. You would assume that we would try to keep everything the same and we're all keep them all amazing and they'd all be identical kids because they had us as parents, Colleen and I. Well, you know what? They're as different as the weather. Oh, there's some commonality, but they're ultimately changes and they're just their own individual people. How about us? What does God want us to be over against what we are? Who does He want us to be over against who we are? How does He want us to live at the end of this pandemic and all the viruses, whether it's racism or COVID or anger or being locked in, locked down, shut out? What is it that God wants from us as His new creation? As we go around to our churches and we begin taking communion again, and it's communion of one kind, the body and blood of Christ in the host. How do we become new? We know Jesus has been present through us. We've talked to Him. We've prayed with Him. He's been by our side. But He cares and nurtures us in so many different ways. And He wants us to be aware of His presence in all of them. So in today's prayer, we hear, Our Father, who art in heaven. Remember back to your confirmation when you all went through confirmation. I may raise your all hands. Remember confirmation? That's when we stopped learning, by the way. Right after confirmation, we stopped learning about our faith. We started interpreting it the way we wanted to. But our Father who art in heaven, the introduction, we had memorized key words probably back then. And the key word for that one is affection. Our Father who art in heaven. A name, the God we call upon and we ask Him, Lord, You're the Lord God, You're the Father of all, and we love You. Hallowed be Thy name, the first petition. The key word for that is reverence. The second petition, Thy kingdom come. Aren't we all waiting for God's kingdom to come? But not just for us, but for all creation. Is anticipation. We anticipate God's kingdom coming to us And isn't that what Jesus sends when he sends us into the world? He's sending us as the body of Christ for the world. And then a third petition, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We might remember back whenever we learned the confirmation the first time that the Lord's Prayer is divided into seven petitions. The first three are your petitions, the relationship between God and man. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. And as the weeks continue over our four-week cycle of looking at the Lord's Prayer, we'll look more in depth at the last four. But God's touching our worlds today. He's gathering us together as his people. He's strengthening us. And as our churches continue to open one by one on their own timing, we should be ever mindful that that body of Christ isn't just there at the table, but it's present with us now and always as we go into our world to be God's people, changing his world as the body of Christ. Our closing of our churches for 16 weeks now is not something that just is happenstance. It's not a God that's punishing us. It's not a God that's trying to correct us. It's the fact that God's present with us through this walk and is going to be with us forever, because that's his promise. The question is, will we want to go back to our old ways? We don't want to go back and learn the Lord's Prayer according to the Aramaic sayings. We don't want to use the debts and debtors. Maybe we do. I don't know. I don't see many hands going up. But how about the way we reach out to our neighbors and our friends and the people in our community? I hear so many people telling me that, you know, for the first time, we see neighbors talking to neighbors up and down our streets. Maybe it's time we relearn the names of the people that live beside us and across the street from us, that we walk by or drive by in our busy lives. Maybe it's time we share the burdens of what it is to be God's people in a world that needs to change, that needs to sit back and look what it means to deal with people that are refugees, to deal with people that are not on the upside of life, but rather on the downside, to deal with the sick, the lonely, those people that don't get communion. When we ask you in the future, who would like to be a breaker or a visitor of shut-ins? How many of us will volunteer because we know what it's like not to have communion for weeks on end and be willing to take time out of our busy schedules to make sure that one of our own are able to experience God's presence in the bodily form of the wafer and the wine? There's so many challenges ahead of us, and we're just beginning. But we know a God that says to us, you are my people. I will never abandon you. For us, it's not a reward system. It's not that to be saved that we pray or that we do works of care and kindness and stand for justice. A lot of religions out there make it as a works-oriented event. But we believe in a God who says to us, because we're saved, now go and be my people. Go and love your neighbors, your enemies, your friends. Make a difference in the world that so desperately needs to experience God's grace. God bless you all as we step up to the plate and continue our walk as people of God. Amen.